This morning, passage of scripture has been read by Jeremiah Lee. What an outstanding job he did. Read it with some passion, vigor, enthusiasm. Like, yeah, you go, man. That's awesome. Psalms 51. I'm not going to read the entire passage of scripture, but I'm going to read the first couple of verses, and then I'm going to skip down to the end. And there is something there that I want you to catch. Something that I want you to catch. And if you catch it, you can tell me after service, Reverend, I got it. Minister, I got it. If you don't, I'll tell you. Amen? Psalms 51. It goes like this. It says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justify when you judge. And we're going to go all the way down to the 17th verse. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. Somebody say a broken spirit. David said, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous. In burnt offerings, offer whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Something special happened in that series of passages from the beginning portion to the end. David starts off with I, mine, and he concludes with Zion. He starts off by emphasizing the individual, and he concludes by emphasizing the community. If you will, Acts chapter 13, 22 to 23. I'm going to read it for you. Jeremiah read it earlier. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. From this man's descendant, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus as he promised. Now, just to give you a quick background on these two passages, David is considered a man after God's own heart. David is considered the man, when you look in the Bible, he was the man that did what God called him to do. But the story of David is not so pleasant. If you take a look from the beginning portion, if you go back all the way before Psalms 51 was written, David had some issues. He had some serious issues. One of the issues that David had, he had an issue with controlling his desire for women. Had a strong desire. And one day, when he's supposed to be on the battlefront fighting, David is home relaxing on the couch. And to put it in context of our day, perhaps having some potato chips, some wings, some fried chicken and macaroni and cheese. He's at home instead of being on the battlefront. That is the story of David. And while he's at home maxing out on the couch, he decides to take a walk on the roof to go and take a look at his beautiful kingdom. So David goes on top of the roof, and while he's walking, there's a stoplight that causes his eyes, his head to stop moving. He's looking and he sees this beautiful lady taking a bath. And he started moving his eyes real quick. Oh my gosh, I can't see that. He didn't do that. He said, oh no, I can't see that. He didn't do that. He kept on looking. He said, whoa, that lady looks good. Now, some of y'all here, y'all know exactly what David was going through. Because one upon a time, you saw a man, you saw a woman, that looked real, real good, and you had a stoplight moment. You stopped and you took a closer look to this individual. So David had this moment and he looked, he said, oh my goodness, she looked good, I need to get to know her. And he said, since he's the king, he has authority, he has power. He says to one of his servants, go and tell that young lady, find out who that young lady is and come back to the king and report to the king, you know. Go and talk to her and come back. You got to catch this. David's story is very important. Because David was placed in a position, given authority by God to execute what I would like to classify as righteous justice. Not to take advantage of people. He is supposed to execute righteous justice, but sometimes when you allow your flesh to get away, you allow your flesh to go ahead of the Spirit of the living God, you might start to operate in the flesh rather than in the Spirit. Amen? Amen? Go with me, church. We going. So now, his servant comes and says, oh, David, that's Bathsheba. She's married to Uriah, one of your soldiers. David says, oh, yeah, Uriah. Last time I checked, homeboy is on the battlefront. Last time I checked, he's fighting. As a matter of fact, he's fighting. He might not make it back. So she might need some assistance. David goes and he sleeps with Bathsheba, commit adultery, cheats on his wife, and Bathsheba gets pregnant. When she gets pregnant, David tries to cover up the story, and eventually his servant Uriah, he gets Uriah killed because he wanted to cover up his sin. David is put in the position. He's given the authority, but he misuses the authority that's been given to him. I know Bathsheba perhaps did not even have a word to say. She came, oh, the mighty king. Yeah. She's in the presence of the king. Took advantage of Bathsheba, took advantage of her husband. So now Psalms 51. Psalms 51 is a response to what David felt after his sin was discovered by the messenger of God. Psalm 51 is that place where David now feels terrible about all the bad things that he has done. And he declared, create in me, cleanse me. He's talking to God. But then he ends with the community because his right, being in right relationship with God is not only for himself, but it's for the community that he belongs to. David writes that, and he feels so bad about what he's done. Now in Acts, the Bible says that from this same David, this David who committed murder, this David who committed adultery, this David who had issue with the ladies, you know, this same old David, Bible says, out of his line, out of his loins, out of his genes, come the Savior of the world. Why so? Church, giving honor to everyone, forgive me if I didn't do the right thing in that capacity. I love every one of y'all. I respect you, although you, Reverend Jackson, is absent, everyone. This morning, I want us to focus on freedom. Someone say freedom. 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 What is freedom? I want us to focus on freedom. Now, I don't know about you guys, but one of the greatest feelings that a young person can have is when they're at home and their parents decide to leave them in the house by themselves. One of the greatest feelings. And we classify, we call that as open crib. Open crib meaning that the space in the house that's been imprisoned by those figures, those authority people, is now free. Open crib. I can tell that some of y'all have had some open crib experiences. One of the most exciting feelings, open crib. And as soon as they leave, you look outside the window, see that car pulling up. It's time to get this party started. Right? Pick up your cell phone. Let me see what's going on. Let me call my boy real quick, man. Boom, boom, boom. Yo, my dude, what's good, bro? The crib is open. Let's make it happen. And you start inviting your friends over. People coming from different ends, right? They come in. You got the music going. Boom. Everything that your parents told you not to do, whoa, they're gone. Now you're free to do whatever you want. Greatest feeling of freedom for a young person. Freedom is a good thing if we understand and know how to handle freedom. But freedom can become something detrimental. Freedom can become something bad if we don't know how to handle freedom. In my experiences of open crib, there have been some times when I brought some people over the crib that I couldn't control their actions. And they did what they did, and I got in trouble for it later on. Why? Because if you have freedom and you don't understand how to handle freedom, it becomes something detrimental. If I'm inviting a whole bunch of crazy cats over my crib, I'm inviting mad heads, then they're inviting their friends. Their friends are coming with a big bag of weed, right? All that other stuff. They got bottles somewhere, somewhere in the bag. Listen, I'm talking real talk. Somebody might know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. So they're coming in with the weed, with the liquor, and they come and start smoking that place, drinking up in that place. I can't control that. I can't control that. Why? Freedom is a good thing if we know how to handle freedom. Freedom is being in control of your will. Freedom is being in control of that. No matter what your situation might be, sometimes people say, oh, I have a boss who's very oppressive. No, you have oppressed yourself in that circumstance. Because even your boss have limitation to what he can tell you to do. I always have this disclaimer right here. I work at Benjamin Franklin Middle School, and I don't see Dr. Lennox Moore here, my principal. But I don't work to make him happy. I work to bring glory to the King. So I want to say to you, Your mindset can either imprison you or free you. Your mentality towards life can either bring you freedom or it could imprison you. If we are going to experience freedom in Christ today, if we're going to experience freedom in Christ, we need to have a new experience with the power of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to experience freedom in Christ, we need to have a second filling of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to experience freedom in Christ, we need to rekindle the joy of the Lord in our lives. If we're going to experience freedom in Christ, straightforward, we need to have a new encounter with Jesus Christ. What are new experiences? Well, When school is starting next week. And some of you parents who have kids in pre-K or kindergarten, you remember that? Those of you who took your kids to pre-K or kindergarten, right? The first day they're going to school, their kids are crying. Mommy, I don't want to go. Mommy, I don't want to go. Mommy, I don't want to go. They're crying. They're fearful because they don't want to go to school. They don't want to leave their parents. They don't want to leave their daddy. And in some cases, you see a kid will get dropped off at school. Instead of the kid going into the classroom, they grab their mom and their dad like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. They hold on to their parents. And then some parents don't even help. They start crying with the kids. Instead of, it's okay, baby. It's going to be okay. Oh, baby, I know it hurt, baby. Mommy's going to miss you. Okay, you don't have to go today. You'll go tomorrow. Because sometimes in order for us to have a new experience or new experiences could be fearful. New experiences could be fear. It brings a lot of fear and anxiety because you don't know what to expect. But I say to you today, oh, if we want to experience this true freedom that exists, we want to experience the fullness of God. We want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives once more. We need to have a new experience with the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, y'all better clap for that. Y'all better clap for that. Clap for that. Yeah. So it's fearful to have a new experience. But then again, new experiences could be exciting. I remember first day of high school. Man. Got my gears ready. Had my jeans lined up right on the bed. Got my box of Jordan. Opened the Jordans. Laid them right there. Jordan got the Jordan ready. Got my hair cut. My boy Sam Gore. Brother John Craig, Jerry, their family that he used to cut my hair. Sam Gore, right? Sam gave me the fresh cut. I'm like, whoa, school is going to be great. I'm excited. I'm getting ready to start high school. New experiences. So everybody's walking that first week with your new gears on. Yeah, what's up, man? Got your swag going. Because you're excited. And the truth of the matter is, new experiences bring excitement. Not only are they fearful, but they're exciting at times. If we are going to experience the fullness of God, we need to have a new experience with God. And for some of us who came here from a different location, perhaps you're moving from the south to the north, perhaps you're moving from one country to this country, when you were getting ready to transition, you know how you felt. New experiences about to occur. New experiences about to come about. You're like, wow, man. I remember, true story, man. I'm in Africa. I'm like, yeah, boy, we're going to America. Finally, we'll go to America. Yes. I've been trying for a long time. We're going to America today. Man, we're going to America. No sleeping. No sleeping at all. Sleeping? No, nothing. If I sleep, I might not wake up. I'm staying up. I remember we getting ready to leave Ivory Coast to come to the United States. Boy, I was not sleeping that night because you know stuff happens. And I didn't want nothing to go wrong with that trip. Right? So new experiences can bring you to a new place in life. Can take you from one location to another. Can have a change in your surrounding. New experiences. So I want to invite you today to think about this. That if you are here today, you say, oh, Minister Holly, I want to experience the fullness of the freedom of God. Well, you have to be willing to have a new experience with Jesus. You have to be willing to have a new experience with your relationship with the Lord. You have to have a new one. Tell the person next to you, say, have a new one, have a new one, have a new one, have a new one, have a new one. If you want to have this new experience, it has to be ushered by the depths of your soul. It has to be ushered, it has to be brought in by the deep hurts that exist in your life. If you want to experience freedom in Christ in totality, you will have to look deep, deep inside of you. That deep secret, that deep pain, that deep hurt that's been caused by people. Look deep down in your soul. Allow those pain, those hurt to usher this new experience with the Lord. There are many people who come to church years and years and years and years and years and years and years. They have hurt, they have pain, they have deep secrets, they have things that they have done and it's inside, and those things have them in bondage. Those things have them shackled up. Those things have allowed them not to be free. And if we're going to have a new experience with the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to have a new experience in the Lord, we need to look deep down inside of who we are and begin to allow those pain, those hurt, to usher out this new experience in the Lord. Freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ. This is why. Because your pain, your suffering, your pain, your hurt, that deep secret becomes a hindrance. It becomes a wall that prevents you from experiencing the fullness of God. It becomes a deep, deep, deep wall. And more you keep on piling up on this wall, the more and more you don't let it go, the deeper, the harder, the thicker these walls become. And so, you're walking around church. Outwardly, you're smiling. You got your makeup on. You got your nice dress. You got your nice suit on. Your good-looking shoes. Outwardly, you look good. But inside there's a turmoil. There's a war. There's something going inside that has embonded you for such a long time. And you want to experience freedom. Might look good, but yet still, that thing has you in bondage. Whatever your hindrance is, if you want to experience a new experience with the Lord, you have to be willing to let it go. You have to be willing to let it go. And you're not letting it go to a person, you're letting it go to the Lord. You surrender to Jesus, and you're getting a fresh perspective about life so that you can live in total freedom. David recognized what his hindrance was. David, he knew what he did was wrong. And sometimes, for some of us, the reason why we're not free, because we fail to recognize what our hindrances are. We fail to recognize what is that thing that holds us back from moving forward, that holds us back from experiencing the fullness of God. What is your hindrance? What is that thing that gets in the way? You can push, but you can't go deeper in God because there's a wall that's stopping you. What is your wall? What is your hindrance? Whatever that hindrance is, I came today to let you know that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that hindrance can be broken in the name of Jesus. You see, David recognized that there was a hindrance that was preventing him from having a closer relationship with God. So he says this in the passage of scripture. He said, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." So you were right in your verdict and justified when you judge. David recognized that he was a sinner. David recognized that he had done something wrong. David recognized his hindrance. You see, let me say why it's so important for us to recognize our hindrances. Each one of us in this room this morning, we're all leaders. We're leaders in our spheres of influence. We're leaders in our workplaces. We're leaders in our schools. And as a leader, God, you become God's representative. You become the example of what God would do. David is supposed to be this great example of God,
But yet still, he allows his flesh to creep in the way. He allows his flesh to get in the way of who God called him to do or be. As a representative, recognize your hindrance. And then after you recognize your hindrance, you have to take action. Don't just say, oh, hindrance, you're here and you look good, I'm going to leave you alone. You say, hindrance, you're here and now I'm going to take action against you. And if you're here this morning, you're looking deep down. You're looking at the story of your life and you say, yes, this person caused hurt in my life. This thing brought pain in my life. And you've been carrying it for such a long time. I want to say to you this morning, yes, you have done number one. You've recognized what the issue is. But now you have to move from recognizing it to taking action against that hindrance. One of the most fearful thing that any of us can do is expose our feelings to other people. Yeah, it's scary. I remember when I was, I'm going to be real with the church. I'm not going to dress this story up. But when I was in high school, right, I went to this day. Deacon Heisler was having this Asian celebration day back in high school. So I went to the celebration. And when I went to the celebration, man, there was this Filipino girl that was singing. She was singing like a black lady. I'm telling you, she was, ooh. I said, oh, my gosh. And you know, for some of us who've been in church, a good singing will get to your soul. And if you hear a good singing, right? So I heard her sing. I said, oh, my God, I like that girl. But I never had the guts to tell her that I like her. Then when it came time to go to the prom, I wanted to ask her, but I never had the guts to ask her because I did not want to expose my emotion. I did not want to expose my feeling. Because if I did, she could just stomp on that thing. So one day, I'm in Walgreens and Sonia that does hair over there. I'm in Walgreens and her daughter walked to me and her daughter was a tough. She said, Sa, you're going to the prom with me. I'm like, sure, no problem. Instead of me getting my feelings crushed, I go with this girl. Even though she's a tough girl, no problem. I took Sharon right to that prom. Mm-hmm. It's a difficult thing to expose your feeling. It's a difficult thing to expose. Now, oh my gosh, I'm doing bad. I got to finish this thing up. Eventually, the girl Melissa, her name was Melissa Rivera, we went on a peer leadership retreat, and I convinced everyone that she was the best partner for me. And eventually, the girl and I, a Filipino girl, we ended up being friends, right? So I didn't go directly, but I went indirectly, just to use your head, but let's move on to the message. So it's tough. To expose your emotion, but you have to. Some of us are sitting here today, and some people in our home, some people in our family have done us wrong. And it's very difficult for us to go and talk to them about what they've done to us. Some of you young people, your family members have done something wrong to you. And it's very hard for you to go and talk to them about what they've done. But I want to encourage you today, if you want that true freedom in Christ, go and take action. Go and take action. Pray about it. Say, God, give me what to say. Allow me to not allow my feelings to get in the way. Allow me to just go and be honest with this person. Pray for direction and let God lead you, and you go and take action against it. Right? So recognize the hindrance. Take action on it. And then David took action. He took action with a repentant heart. David felt. He knew that what he did was wrong. So he says this. He says, surely I was sinful at birth. Sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desire faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in the secret place. Cleansed me with hyssop. That's modern day Clorox. Modern day would be Clorox. Hyssop, Clorox. You know? Yeah? Yeah, put that in context. And I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. David knew that he did something wrong and he went to God. He said, God, I've done something wrong. Please, please have mercy upon me. So first, he recognized his hindrance. Not only did he recognize his hindrance, secondly, he took action against his hindrance. After he took action. When you move, I move just like that. When you move, God moves just like that. When you move, God moves just like that. So the third thing that happened, God responds to our action. When we take action, God responds to it. There's nothing like belief. There's nothing like when a teacher believes in a student. There's nothing like when a parent believes in a child. There's nothing like when a church believes in an individual. Belief can take a person from one place to a different place. Belief can take someone from ground level to top level. Belief can take somebody somewhere. So I want to encourage you today to have belief in young people, to have belief in each other, to have belief in other people. Watch this. If you look at the story of Abraham, right? Abraham is at one location. And why Abraham is at this location, he's rich, he has everything, he has a fine car, he has everything, life is beautiful, he has a beautiful wife, everything is good for him. But God says to Abraham, I want you to leave where you are and go. And because Abraham believed God, belief took Abraham and brought him to a place. When you believe in God, when you have faith in God, God responds to you having faith in Him. He responds to that. Your action is the faith, and God responds to the faith. Although you've been carrying this thing for a long, long time, and you haven't surrendered it to God, if you take action and surrender it to God, if you take action and go speak to the people you need to speak to about what they have done to you, God is going to respond to your action. And the Bible says this. Oh, it says this. Oh, David says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your way so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. The only individual that can bring freedom to David's circumstance was God. It's the only one that can do it. So when we recognize the hindrance, we take action in the hindrance, that's our faith, God responds to that. Lastly, after God responds to your action, he gives you a testimony. He gives you a testimony. As I look back over my life, that's the other kitchen area. I'm going to leave that alone. Right? You think things over, you have a testimony. Because God has done something in your life. If you haven't had a testimony in forever, and you're saying, oh my gosh, I need a testimony. Look deep down inside. Look at that. If that hindrance is existing in your life, recognize the hindrance. Take action against the hindrance. When you take action, God responds. After God responds, he gives you a testimony of freedom. David says this. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinner will turn back to you. So David is saying after he's delivered, he's not going to keep his deliverance to himself. He's not going to keep his freedom maxed out in his pocket. But he's going to share it. Starts with you and it ends with the community. Starts with me and it ends with Zion. Then I will teach transgression your way so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You who are God, my Savior. And my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Ooh, my tongue will sing of your righteousness. This thing is too good. I'm going to leave it though. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You get this? This God is getting changed. This dude is getting transformed. This dude is getting freedom, and he's excited about it, and he's willing to take that freedom and bring it to somebody else. Very difficult for us to share freedom with other people if we haven't been free ourselves. Very difficult for us to do that because we start to operate in our own power. And we have whatever mess that we're in, we end up kind of putting that mess on other people. But David, he says, and then it goes on to says, you do not delight in sacrifice or I will bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, oh God, is a broken spirit and a broken contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. So what God wants from us is a broken and a contrite heart. In other words, when we realize that we are broken, that we have nothing of substance to give to God, but all we have is our broken heart, our brokenness, God's going to use that, and he's going to give you a testimony when you come to God in brokenness. Okay? My sacrifice, oh God, may it please you to prosper Zion. This is the part I love, deacons. It says, may it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifice of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Church, your freedom is not just for yourself. It's not just for yourself. It's for us. It's for me. It's for us in the service, in this church. It's for us in the community. Because when you're free, your elegance, your aroma is going to be free. And you're going to feed that off of me. So I want us to really think about this today. Think about that hindrance. Recognize it. Take action against it. God, I promise you, is going to respond to your action. And when you get a testimony, go and tell somebody how the Lord has set you free. Amen? Amen? Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Interestingly, this same old David that committed murder and did all these horrible things, that God used his family line to bring the Savior of the world. Because David took action against his hindrance, he brought freedom to the world, to Jesus Christ. And when you take action against yours, you're going to bring freedom to other people. Bow your heads and close your eyes with me where you are. Let's pray. God, we thank you for being a wonderful God. We thank you for being the Father of freedom. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for being the author of freedom. We thank you that freedom exists in this atmosphere. God, I pray as you have brought to mind the hindrances that exist in our lives, that we would take action against those hindrances. And Lord, when we take action, we believe by faith that you're going to respond to us taking action. And after we take action, we know and believe, God, that you're going to give us a testimony. So I pray, Lord, let freedom reign in this house. Let freedom reign in each one of our lives so that we can bring freedom to our community. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. The people of God say amen. 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 Give the Lord a hand clap. He's good.